Saludos, nuestra gente, and welcome to our 24th episode of The Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I'm your host, Maria Isa. We want to shout out our host, Ariana Henis, who is not here, our proud Chicana. I'm the Boricua, proud of where we come from. Where we are now, we are here to create a dialogue focused on Latino opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment, and a music playlist sazonado with Latino contemporary, Latino alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, ritmos, afro-latinos, y más.
Thank you. escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
And we're back. This is episode 24 of Latina Theory. I want to say that I'm here with amazing, as my co-host Ariana Hennis, who's not here, would say, chingonas. But you just heard a song by Eddie Palmieri, Puerto Rico. Obviously, we are affected, me personally, by the impact of Hurricane Maria and Irma and the catastrophe that has devastated the island that I just returned from less than a month ago. So we want to give our hearts to our gente, and that's what this episode is dedicated to our gente. Mm-hmm. Not only with Puerto Rico, but we've also have devastation in the Efe in Mexico City with the hurricane of a magnitude of 8.3 that I know locally has affected family members who have been killed. In Puerto Rico, I have yet, this is day two of the aftermath of Hurricane Maria, and I have yet to hear from my family members, my direct family members. So with buena fe, whatever you believe in, you know, Papa Dios, Allah, Buddha, Los Santos, let's believe it, that all of them believe in Mother Earth. And our tierra, our madre tierra, is letting us know that our world isn't being taken care of. Our earth, our land, our water isn't being taken care of. And obviously we are the victims to those who are indecisive of what is to come and what is to happen, how they're going to react. Well, they need to be decisive right now in the matters of what we're facing, because it's affecting not just here locally in the Twin Cities, but globally. Before these catastrophes took place, we had dedicated this episode to be informative about DACA after President Trump's decision on DACA. And, you know, we know him as our FDP, and we are in solidarity with our Chicano movement here in the Twin Cities, who have stated that us Boricuas got to change that FTP to pendejo. So they are continuously our FT pendejos of la semana. But our guests here, man, these chingonas, I've got, going back to that, I've got our co-host, our guest co-host for this segment, Chicano Latino Studies, University of Minnesota. I like to call her Dr. J. Lilo, but Jessica Lyman Lopez. What's good?
Hello, what's up, y'all?
Thank you for being here on such short notice after all of this devastation, Mujer, that's been going on. And I know we've all been busy in our outlets. But our guests, our scheduled guests, which is why we're going to keep moving forward, because through catastrophe, through devastation, we must continue to seguir pa'lante, adelante, with how we can continue our efforts and our positions. And we're very honored to have not only our homegirl, but our elected official in Ward 9 in the city of Minneapolis, the first Latina city councilwoman to take office, the Honorable Alondra, a.k.a. Londra Gano, in the house today. We're actually in her house today.
So yeah, her new house.
It's like LL Cool J in the house. How are you doing, Londra? Thanks for having this amazing setup and dinner right over here.
Oh, well, thank you both for coming. I mean, it is hard times, but what I appreciate is being around really powerful, strong women like yourselves. Just like the generations of our women and our mother lines have been for years. So I gather strength when you gather strength. So here we are.
Well said, well said. You know, you're up for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in almost a month.
Yeah.
It's going to be almost a month. Actually, today we started with, it was the prelims.
Early voting. People
okay.
could go out and vote for the first time today. I was out there with my team voting.
Right on. How do you feel about that?
I think it's good. It's kind of, you know, it's a mixture of both feeling really well because you're like out there and you're like, let's get out the vote, let's do this. But then it's also a little anticlimactic because you're like, November 7th, that's the day we need to all go out and vote.
Right.
But really, we're trying to get everyone registered now. We're trying to get all the Latino votes in Ward 9 to come out. So out of the 30,000 people that live in the 9th Ward, about 35% of them are Latino descent. And so we have a project on our hands where we have to go out there, door knock, and identify all the Latino voters, because one of the challenging situations here is that our communities are present, we're contributing, we're helping schools thrive, we're helping commercial corridors thrive, but because so many of us are undocumented, we don't get that political representation. And that's actually what my seat is about. That's really how I look at this Ward 9 council seat, is the fact that I'm the only Latina to have ever been elected to the Minneapolis City Council, the only Mexican American. And on the heels of Trump ending DACA and doing all of these motions against the immigrant and Muslim community, this is a seat we have to protect and we have to uphold and we have to really hang on to, because this is the voice that's going to fight back on the realm that, you know, Trump is working in.
I think back, you know, going into like 2007, when we were all working, we were all in different positions than we are now, obviously, but we're in the positions that we've all been working for towards in our communities, locally and nationally, through education, politics, activism, the arts. I think back to that 2007 rally when we marched to the Capitol and we had all those students.
Yeah.
In the room, I remember singing and dedicating my album. Just I wrote, starting my first album, dedicating towards that, and leading into my second album, Street Politics. And I remember you being there at the front line, guiding those students to let's get ready, let's go, and we marched from that church early morning to in downtown St. Paul to the Capitol, and that inspired such a grand movement here, and alongside with just, you know, the Dream Act being passed at that time, we also had you know, our rights being dedicated to Indigenous Peoples Day, which Londra, your work isn't just within the Latino community as well. Your work is with the Indigenous people, specifically Little Earth is in your ward, and the advocacy towards clean water and stopping those pipelines, along with the advocacy of supporting those Indigenous rights here in your city. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, when I reflect on that, you know, what's been really cool about my experience is that, you know, I immigrated to this country when I was 10. I learned English, I graduated high school and came to the U of M here in Minneapolis to go to school. And I was just so hungry for knowledge. I was so hungry for that connection to community. And that's what got me involved in feminist studies and Chicano studies, American Indian studies, African American studies, even worked a lot on the Fong Lee police brutality issue when this young man was shot and killed by a Minneapolis police officer.
Jamar Clark.
Jamar Clark was recent.
That
was last year.
But you're going back to
Fong Lee.
Oh, we're going back to Fong Lee.
Yeah.
Definitely. That was 2009. 2009.
Yeah.
When
absolutely.
The verdict said not guilty. I remember it was actually a day before my album release of Street Politics, which was influenced by DACA. So
back in the day with the Dream Act and immigration reform.
We had derechos. You were on the platform and...
Yeah. And so I think one of the reasons why a lot of our social movements have been really successful is because they build on each other. You know, sometimes people think that they're isolated, but I think we really feed off each other and we're really able to kind of tag team this thing. So when you look at Minneapolis, this is the home of the American Indian Movement. This is where AIM was founded and co-started with Clyde Bellecourt and a lot of the other Indigenous leaders. And then you look at the impacts of the Hmong community and the work that happened around holding the police accountable with Fong Lee's death. And then now you turn the page and you go to Black Lives Matter and you look at how the immigrant rights movement is kind of sandwiched in between those two, the Black Lives Matter movement and the police brutality movement. And I think we all really strengthen each other off of those movements. And so for me, it's really a daily exercise of how do I co-govern with these communities in a multiracial alliance to ensure that our voices are represented fully and equally and collectively to make this change. So, you know, being the first Latina Latina council member doesn't mean I just represent Latino issues. It means I want to be there for all those communities in the same ways that we have asked other communities to be there for us when it matters.
Right on. We're going to get back here with Councilwoman, Minneapolis Councilwoman for the District 9, Ward 9. And we're going to also hear a little bit from Chicana Latina Studies, our co-host today, Jessica Lyman Lopez, after this song by Lila Downs, who's actually coming to the Ordway pretty soon here. Yes, and she's also an alum of the University of Minnesota, which City Councilwoman Alondra, it's kind of weird calling City Councilwoman because she's my homegirl too, you know, but you got to always show respect, and that's what we do at Latina Theory, is always about tienes que respect. So shout out to Lila Downs. We'll see you here at the U of M, where Jessica is a professor, Dr. J. Lilo. But here's Paloma Negra, a goodie, an oldie, but a contemporary sound by Lila Downs. We shout out to Chavela Vargas, and rest in peace always.
Yeah, rest in peace always.
Always, but yeah, here's Lila Downs' version on Latina Theory.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Ya me canso de llorar y no amanecer. Ya no sé si maldecirte o por ti rezar. Tengo miedo de buscarte y de encontrarte. ¿Dónde me aseguran tus amigos que te vas? Hay momentos en que quisiera mejor rajarme, arrancarme ya los clavos de mi pena. Pero mis ojos se mueren sin mirar tus ojos, y mi cariño con la aurora te vuelve a esperar. Ya agarraste. cuento. La parra.
That was once again Lila Downs with Paloma Negra. We're back here on Latina Theory with Londra Cano and Dr. Jessica Lyman
Doctor.
Lopez. Yeah. It's crazy.
Hey, Mariesa, I just wanted to say I really like that necklace you're wearing.
Thank you. You know, we had a press conference today. Thank you for joining us.
You did.
Shout out to Senator Melissa Franson. For co-organizing the Puerto Ricans of Minnesota's press conference on behalf of the hurricane relief and efforts here locally. We had a great team of people, but this necklace is red. I'm wearing black and, like, golden, olive, and teal dress, and we had to wear red. I got the memo late in solidarity of Puerto Ricans across the world to show support. And so she called me and said, we're supposed to wear red. I left already heading there. I'm like, I did too. And I said, but you know what? I have my my coyales de Guayanía.
Is that the seed or what is that?
No, girl. These are like straight up beans, like garbanzo.
Oh, but they're red.
Yeah, they're dyed.
They're painted? Oh, they look nice.
Yep. And shout out to Tato Brujo Torres. I hope that you're okay and your family. And I know that you're in the Monte Guayanía. And I know that we are going to recover, and you are Jibaro. You are one of my greatest professors, and thank you so much. And for, you know, Ale, who made these, and he gave, I had reunited. I didn't know. I hadn't seen Ale Anderson since I was 18 there on my first tour in Puerto Rico as an artist. The first female MC to headline the hip hop festival there.
Carl, you have been going strong on this for a long time.
You know, it's what we do though. And it's crazy because I got married last month and we all met at La Junta, which is like the spot, and I just got a picture that is just demolished of it. We were just there, and my nephew was there with me.
Wow.
And he said, Titi, some guy who's like, everybody knows who he is like, he just gave me this guido and told me to keep playing because he was dancing. And I'm like, who? You know, you're like, who's talking to you? The nephew, like, who's talking to my 14-year-old nephew? You know?
Yeah.
It's with me, it's my responsibility. And my mom's like, yeah, who? And then I see it, and I'm like, and he sees me wearing these escoyal, and he goes, you know, who gave that to you? And I said, Tato. He goes, I made 7. And
no,
you have
no.
The red one.
You have one.
And I hadn't
7?
Seen him. And when I look who it is, I was like, espérate. And he was like, Maria, ven paca.
Oh, wow.
And it just was like so. I hope that everybody on my island, like, that's why I wore this. I don't have to wear a whole red dress or a red shirt. This is the, it's more powerful to me to wear these.
You know what, though? In that press conference today, I think the best part for me was hearing Representative Carlos Mariani talk about the connection between U.S. federal policy and the relationship to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And, like, now it's the time to step up. And I think you, somebody was asking, like, all right, so if Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, where is the aid? Mm-hmm. Where is the help?
Well, I mean,
when do we step up?
And I think this right here is a perfect example of how, even though Puerto Ricans were made citizens in 1917 by the Jones Act, we see second-class citizenship, which has been theorized over and over again for Mexican-Americans as well as Puerto Ricans.
It was made that way so
that
we would enlist in the military and they could draft us.
Absolutely, right? I mean, it was made for the wartime. And so I think that we're really naive if we think that things such as FEMA, which aren't even actually happening to create relief in places like Texas, or of course we know Katrina and New Orleans, are actually going to do work in Puerto Rico. That's why I think it's so important that we take action amongst ourselves to donate. So folks, if they're listening right now, if you're here locally in Minnesota or anywhere nationally or internationally, a really great place to donate that's going directly to the island, directly to folks that Maria and other people have relationships with, is El Fondo Boricua. So if you go to giveminnesota.org, that's GIVEMN.org, look up El Fondo Boricua, ElFondoBoricua. I got to spell it just in case we got, you know, folks that have no idea.
Thank you.
Go to the hurricane relief. It was really beautiful, and why, you know, I mean, there's so many reasons why I love what you do, Maria, but for anybody that donates $250 between now and October 17th.
19th,
October 19th, through this Give Minnesota, Maria's company, Soto Rico, will be donating, matching that $250 donation. So definitely, I think it's a way that we can do some good by putting our money out. You know, I see on social media all the time, people are like, I'm praying for Mexico or Puerto Rico or whatever it might be. That's all good. But, you know, we
anything
also live
helps
in a capitalist structure. And so money helps. And for Mexico, Topos is probably one of the best places to donate. It was formed by young Mexicanos during the 1985 earthquake that happened in the DF. They performed rescues in the aftermath of the earthquake that killed over 10,000 people. And you can donate to their PayPal at Donativos at BrigadaRescateTopas.org, DONATIVOS at BRIGADARESCATETOPOS.org.
Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate all the love and support. I mean, anything helps, you know, whether it's a cooked meal, to be a little bit sensitive to your DF, you know, citizens of the world, be a little bit sensitive to the Boricuas that are around you, because we are going through it.
And here in Minneapolis, you know, our sister city is Morelos, Mexico, and that's really where the heart of the earthquake was. And yes, it affected the DF, but it's people in that state, in that cities of Cuernavaca and, you know, nearby Puebla. That are
Azuchapan.
That are most impacted. And I think about the great work that, like, folks did to bring that Emiliano Zapata statue on 12th and Lake, Nieto Rivera, all these other amazing artists. You know, that was a gift from a Mexican artist because of that sister partnership. And so if Minnesotans are out there, folks in Minneapolis, I mean, now is the time to really enact those relationships.
Jessica, you know, we're talking about our issues here, whether it's catastrophe through devastation of Mother Nature.
Mother Nature's pissed.
She's
pissed.
Pissed
about Trump.
Everybody's
put
like,
it out there.
Everybody's like, Maria, it's named Maria. And, you know, I'm like, well, yeah. You know,
now they want
to get out of here.
Now they want to name
something
after
me.
Okay,
and
really?
I'm like, you know what? I'll take it. Because every Maria that I know, like I've been saying, is strong. I'm named after some amazing lineage of Marias, from my tia to my great tia to her tia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And every Maria that I know is strong and powerful, is mother. That's the name. It's queen, mother, madre. But huracán, hurricane, roots from my indigenous roots of the Taínos and of Borinquen. And Huracán is the god of chaos and winds. And boy, have we been going through chaos in this last year.
Yeah.
And those winds are... The god Huracán is representative of the winds that remind you that women are mother and mother is earth. So this is a... I know, and it's hard for me to say because I'm like, it's a cleansing. Because things aren't clean. And where we come from, where our ancestry come from, where we've migrated from, whether it's been at, you know, 10 years old or whether it's been through, you know, 1948 when your grandmother came to the United States to work so that you can go back home. It's a face of reality that, we all fight for our indigenous rights. We all fight for our environment at the same time as fighting for where we are at systemically and knowing the law and knowing the system and how it works. We've all been there to be called of, you don't understand how this works. And we're like, yes, we do. And boy, have we gone through so much to understand how it works. You don't understand the privilege that you have to see what we have to battle every day.
Well, and I think one of the issues around this framing, whether it's global climate change or climate warming, whatever the language might be, I think a lot of the rhetoric is about these natural disasters. And natural disaster implies something that the earth is doing just what the earth does. And I think what the danger in that, in calling these incidents a natural disaster, is really not implicating the human responsibility, particularly of the global elites and the corporations that are more interested in profits than people in La Tierra. that is the consequence that we're seeing right here, mm-hmm. right? We are seeing 500 plus years of colonialism. We are
mm-hmm.
seeing
mm-hmm.
decades of
mm-hmm.
imperialism
mm-hmm.
and now this neoliberal era,
yeah.
whether, you know, this is an implication of NAFTA. This is
yeah.
an implication
yeah.
of the Commonwealth from 1952 in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, yeah.
This
uh-huh.
is not
uh-huh.
a natural disaster. This
yeah.
was calculated by individuals who will have a corporate jet and inevitably not have to be physically on the ground and have to take responsibility
yeah.
for these issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Congressman Ellison called, me yesterday after, you know, I don't know what I'm like, I do know what I have to do at the time. It was like, I was like, what do I do? My family's
yeah.
not picking up. My
yeah.
best friends aren't picking up. I'm looking at pictures as to where, like, I had my wedding last month and it's gone. I'm looking at the FA. I'm getting feedback that, you know, people at El Burrito who work there have lost their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't sleep. You're just waiting for a phone call or a text message or a Facebook message or a tweet, DM,
yeah.
or whatever communication you can. And you know, so it's you text the people who have to represent you in that platform.
Mm.
So it's like, I don't care if it's 4 a.m.
No.
I'm up still. And
oh, yeah.
my people are up and they're scared. And I know they are because before power went out,
yeah.
was Prima pray for us because I don't know what's going to happen. I've never heard footage from you know, second cousins, my father's cousins that are sending. And you, all you just see is them on their roof
because
it's flooded up to the second floor.
Mm.
And so you contact. And that's what I'm telling everybody. You, that you're the reason why Londra's in office. And which why it's important for you to go and vote if you are in Ward 9, because she is representative to what our causes are, what our derechos are for our gente.
Mm-hmm.
And so I contacted Keith and he's like, what can I do? You know, and I'm like, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
What does your community need? What does the Puerto Ricans community need? And I'm like, honestly, at this point, you know, you're thinking, we need a plane.
Yeah. A plane, a captain, and some fuel.
We need access to get to help our families that we don't know, or our people, our gente, with
yeah.
medical supplies.
Yeah.
And, you know, the answers of FEMA and what Trump's doing, it doesn't cut it for us, because here's the thing. We've been needing help before this hurricane
yep.
happened.
Yep. Yep.
And people have acted
yep.
like
yep.
we're not there, or, you know, waving it. Thank you, Londra, for coming to the Puerto Ricans and committee, you know, meeting.
Yeah,
they outreached to you. I was out of town, but I know
mm-hmm.
that you supported.
Your mom was there.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
She was very, you know, like, you see who cares. And that's what we need. When you're telling us that the government's there, we're like, okay, but they're supposed to be there. That's what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been asking for that help before this.
Right.
And now, on top of $73 billion,
yep.
on top of $1 billion from just 2 weeks ago with Hurricane Irma, and now with a whole island that looks like a bomb fell on it, I think of, like, you know, it's Dr. Fiol, who's been our only contact, who is in the island, said, he called me at 3 a.m, and that's when I contacted everybody. He's like, you need to call everybody. This is a war zone. It looks like a bomb just fell on us. On everything. There's not one safe place in Puerto Rico. When people are like, oh, thank gosh, nothing was completely damaged, but right next door, wow, they lost everything, and we're the only house on the block that just has a roof off. Like, you're hearing from footage and Facebook Live. It's like, we have to take action now for those who don't have communication.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility as people who have some sort of leadership,
yeah.
whether it's through education, whatever
mm-hmm.
it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, Londra, aside from, you know, this is an issue with, obviously, the devastations happening through the FS earthquake, Puerto Rico, and the hurricane, and the islands. Let's not forget the Caribbean in general.
Mm-hmm.
But the devastation is a reflection of the parallel of what we're facing with our rights. As far as with the immigrants' rights
mm-hmm.
in our communities,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
DACA,
Mm-hmm.
What are the next steps?
Yeah. No. So we were chatting about how the fact that when we were mobilizing for immigration reform, you know, 5 to 7 years ago, that gave birth to what is DACA now. President Obama gave us DACA because we demanded DACA. We organized like crazy for DACA. And so now Trump is taking that away. And so that makes me rethink, what is our negotiating strategy? What is our organizing strategy? We got to start asking for no borders. No borders.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't amp up what we're asking for, we're going to get left with the crumbs again. And so, you know, what's been really interesting for me is looking at ways that municipal government, local government, city government, and mind you, I knew nothing about city government until I ran for office
mm-hmm.
for city government. Before then, I was an organizer, I was a mother,
mm-hmm.
I was a student, I was an immigrant, you
mm-hmm.
know, I was trying to do all these different things, and then I funneled that energy into being an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never been like this calculated person who's been wanting to be a politician, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really see myself as like, that's where I need to be to do my work. I just do my work and it doesn't matter what title I wear.
See it as you're the one who needs to be there amongst everybody who's on that list.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
But let them know who you are, regardless of the title that you are given in your job.
Yep.
This is you every day.
And it's putting the title to work for the community. And of course, it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be like 100% all the time, because there's nuances and there's disagreements about strategies and how to get to your goal. But the point here is that we need to find ways to make sure that our platforms build power with and for the people. Not just for the people, because that's patronizing, with the people. And so that implies some kind of shoulder-to-shoulder action where you're on the ground learning with folks, listening, building, you're doing the grimy work that folks don't want to be doing. And so that's the kind of stuff that I love, because it's like that's where you hear the heartbeat. That's where you hear the drums. That's where you see, you know, the tears, and you feel the energy. And I think that's what really fuels my intensity in the council, because I have to make up for the lack of racial justice work that everybody else doesn't want to do. And so that intensity is both, you know, it kind of creates this lack of balance, because
mm-hmm.
you're trying to make up for everything else that nobody else is doing, and then you're also trying to just hold your core, and you're also just trying to do your work, your normal work, and so it's a very disimbalanced, you know, formula. But nonetheless, it's important, and I think that it'll get better over the long term. But ultimately, going back to the immigrant rights issue, this DACA program, which was built through and by the power of the people, has been taken away by Trump, and so locally, how do we fight back? Well, now we're having an organizing meeting on Sunday at 1 p.m. at Holy Rosary Church, which has been ground zero for immigrant rights since 15 to 20
Holy
years
Rosary
ago.
Holy Rosary is located.
It's over there on, yeah.
I mean, I know that.
24th
know, this will be
and
out
Cedar.
Right on time for that.
Right
yeah,
by
yeah.
Elliott Park, across the street from
yep.
Elliott Park. You try
yeah.
to play soccer on Sundays, you can't because people are at church.
Well, it's Cedarfield Park.
Cedarfield.
It's by Little Earth. It's
yeah.
by Little Earth. So it's
Little
in East Phillips. East Phillips.
Yeah.
So Santo Rosario Church. So it's right there on like 24th and 18th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be in the basement. We're going to have food, childcare, interpretation, everything. So now we're talking about how can we organize to make sure that undocumented immigrants can vote in municipal elections? Because why? Because school board matters. And that is one of the main ways that our communities are controlled and dominated, is what happens in the educational institutions of our city. And so it's no secret that the schools in Ward 9 are one of the schools that are worst off in the entire city. And why? It's because we're a racially concentrated area of poverty that the school board members pay less attention to. So if we can get the immigrant community to vote locally on municipal elections, whether it's city council, mayor, school board, park board, we can get more of our voice represented. We're going to talk about getting an ID for everyone. So everyone that wants to have an ID that cannot get a driver's license, because statewide, immigrant folks are not allowed to get driver's licenses when you're undocumented because of the changes that happen under a Republican governor. And so we're going to try to fight back like an exponentially. So like this
Republican.
Is the
president.
Well, no, I'm talking about Minnesota. Minnesota.
We don't have a
Minnesota,
Republican governor, though.
We used to have
right.
a Republican
Tim
governor
Valenti.
Who took away the rights for undocumented
okay,
folks to have
okay,
a driver's
okay.
license.
Right.
And so
right.
now folks are driving around without driver's licenses, without driver's license education,
mm-hmm.
and without insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, we're like a community that's ignored, exploited, we're a race, and yet, oh, everyone loves tacos. And you know what? I'm ready to fucking get a class action lawsuit on tacos with you all.
Get it, girl.
I'm
this is
so
Latina
tired.
Theory. We're not Fox 9.
I'm so tired of people being like, oh, I love my tacos, but forget the Mexican people. And it's like, no, that's our cultural heritage. That's our food. Like, you can't use that if we don't have the rights that
today
go with it.
Today is Taco Tuesday, and Wednesday is deport them all. It
doesn't
make no sense.
No.
Yes. Here,
it's like, we need to, like,
spit it up.
Y'all.
Ladies, we have one song, and then we're going to come back with our closing remarks. Jessica, lead us into our song.
Our next song is by East LA longtime group Quetzal, Politics y Amor.
Nice.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Política.
We're back here on Latina Theory Spanglish Podcast, Sin Vergüenzas. Ariana, te lo perdiste, mija. You lost it.
Ariana, we love you.
But we love you, and you know we know you're dedicated doing some amazing campaign work. Shout out to our homegirl. She's running her first campaign.
Yeah.
She's amazing. And she
one of the few women running a city council campaign.
Latina women.
And
she's the only Latina woman running a city council campaign.
Are we throwing
a
party for her afterwards?
We're throwing you a party.
Yeah, you got the recorded online.
I'm going to bring the chicharron, and I don't even eat pork, but I'll make the chicken. All right, but Jessica, well, tell us what the song, because, girl, this is my co-host.
Oh, yeah, Politics y Amor by Quetzal. You know, want to give a shout-out. That's dedicated to all the people that love really hard and organize really hard.
Right on, right on. Well, I can go on for hours and hours and hours with these mujeres, but I'm actually going to support In the Heights and the wonderful cast that you heard on our episode 23 with Shelly Keola and Tony Jilek, who have been outreaching and have my mother, shout out to mommy, who's in Orlando right now and is going through a lot because she's trying to get a hold of our family members. And my primita Carla Perez, who's going to change her last name, and probably just did because it's her wedding right now. We love you. I love you. And I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but you know what we're doing. And we'll be there to celebrate both of our marriages together soon. But we're heading to the Ordway to see In the Heights right now. Well, these ladies get to stay and chill at Alo's house. But I got to go do what we got to do because we have to do what we got to do. We got to keep moving pa'lante. Closing remarks, Londra.
Yeah. Just remember that people are talking about the earthquake in Mexico, about bad soil, that Mexico, you know, Mexico City was built on bad soil. Dunbar Ortiz talked about how actually the colonizers from Spain built the city of Mexico on land that was a lake. And so that was not supposed to happen. And again, so colonizer technology versus indigenous technology. Vote November 7th. We are hoping for your support.
And last comment is please give to all the organizations if you can, because even if we want to think we're outside of a capitalist system, money still talks and definitely needed for relief. And last thing, we stand with DACA, but all folks that even aren't matching the DACA criteria, because we know that DACA is only a band-aid on a much larger problem of the deportation regime.
No borders.
No borders. My name is Maria Isa. This is Latina Theory, episode 24. I'm going to lead you out with my song that I wrote when the dream for in, encouraging the Dream Act.
Nice.
That was actually performed first at the rally that we held in that church in St. Paul. It was cool. I was like, here I go performing in front of the church. I've been going to Catholic school in my life. And the priests were telling me, be quiet and don't rap and don't sing your words. But Londra and all those who took initiative to lead that front put me in front of a sanctuary to sing. And this was the first time it was performed with my best friend, Ivan Fontanes Banjo, who was here studying at McNally Smith at that time. I hope you're good, brother. And I hope you're queen as well, Jeannie, and your beautiful baby, Silvina. This goes out to our gente mundial. There is no borders. This is derechos. Thank you.